The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Another hour of What's on Your Mind, the Northern Plains' most listened to radio station, coming to you from 550 K-Fire, 910 KCJB, AM 1100 The Flag, KLTC 1460 in Dickinson, and KTGO in Tioga, Stanley, Watford City, and Williston. Glad you're listening today. Want you to join the program. Congressman Kevin Cramer will be here for the entire hour. It's our Wednesday Talk Radio Town Hall. We had questions come in for Kevin already yesterday that he'll be addressing. We welcome more today when you call 800-228-0550. It's a toll-free telephone number, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com with your email questions. When you call, you have an option. One is just leave your message, leave your question. Two is I want to hold, I want to talk to Congressman Cramer. Those are the options when you call. We're coming to you from the Astoria Hotel and Conference Center in Dickinson, North Dakota today. We're here because the North Dakota Petroleum Council annual meeting is here. And our broadcast yesterday for Energy Matters, today and tomorrow for What's on Your Mind, are brought to you by our friends at Marathon Oil. We're going to hear from Terry Kovacevic in just a moment. Neighbors Drilling, Wyoming Casing Service, Continental Resources, Nevera Environmental Resources, and Theodore Roosevelt Expressway Association, as well as Quality Mat Company, North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties, and the Energy and Environmental Research Center. We thank our sponsors for making us this broadcast possible so we could be here all 3 days and talk about what's happening in Dickinson and talking about what's happening in the oil and gas industry. And Terry Kovacevic, who heads up the efforts in the Bakken for Marathon Oil Company, is here with us today on the program. What is your official title, Tom?
I'm Regional Vice President for Marathon Oil.
Regional VP, but I just call you the big dog in the Bakken for Marathon.
Okay.
Which you are.
Yeah.
And it's good to see you.
Thank you very much, and welcome to a great day on the Western Edge.
We are on the Western Edge, and when I get on the Western Edge, just the weight of the world lifts off my shoulders. There's something about being on the Western Edge that's pretty darn neat, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and the weather's picture-perfect all week out here, so it's going to be a great week, great day for us here in Dickinson at Astoria.
So how did a guy with a Croatian name, Kovacevic, get to Dickinson, North Dakota?
Well, I've been with Marathon about 38 years and been here in this city, Dickinson, at various assignments for about 8 years. But prior to that, I was 9 years overseas but had my family up in Alaska for 22 years. So I've kind of hung around the winter climates a good part of my 38-year career and enjoying every minute of it.
And how is Dickinson involved in your time here?
It's been a lot of growth, just like all the other hub cities and some of the smaller cities that are now growing. And when I came here and has seen, you know, the boom start, and, you know, of course, you're aware of the background, maybe a lot of the doubters initially because of what happened prior in the 80s and 90s. But here the last 3 years since things picked up again, 2010, after the U.S. economy fell off a bit, it's just been tremendous growth, and it's just a credit to city leaders here in Dickinson and across Western North Dakota, county officials, on how much they are putting in planning and trying to get their arms around this growth and trying to portray a vision so they can plan towards that vision. But Dickinson, this facility, as I mentioned, is one, and it's just that we got a new hospital, new clinics, other new things are planned here, so it's just a great story.
Terry and I first met in about 2007, I think. We did a broadcast from a beautiful new Marathon Oil facility in Dickinson in about 2008. And I got my first tour up close on a rig site, which is very difficult to do these days. Now you can't exactly do that. There's so many of them, it's tough to get there. But we were up in the cab. But what I was amazed at, and this is now again 6 years ago, right? What I was amazed at is the level of technology then. I mean, it looked like what I would expect the CIA has in the way of technology and how they're watching everything going on. How has that evolved in the last number of years in the way of the technology end of this play?
I would use the phrase continuous improvement, whether it's improving on what we're recovering out of the reservoir. Every company's gotten better, but of course the fracturing technology and the drilling technology. When we started, our time for us to drill a well to what we call TD, the 10,000 feet vertical, 10,000 foot horizontal, was somewhere in the 40-day window, and we had some higher that. We now average around 20 days for that phase, so we've cut that in half, and we've actually drilled a well or two, you know, 10 days of 20,000 feet, and so tools are getting better. People are getting trained better. More people are coming out here to Western North Dakota. So it's just a positive story.
Now, I obviously knew the Bakken boom was coming. You did a very good job of schooling me up, as Ron Ness did and a number of other people. My number one tutor on energy was always Congressman Cramer, because, you know, we're going even back to coal and wind and things. And he always said, look, this oil thing's coming back. We're doing some things, combining horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, where this is going to evolve. So he was the guy that was always pushing me, and we were doing energy tours of excellence literally way back in 07 and 08, talking about this. But what I was most impressed with, as you know, a novice to the industry, Terry, was the attention to safety that Marathon took on, and really the whole industry does, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's Marathon and many companies out here. You know, that's one of our core values. We try to live our value in safety and in environmental are priorities for us. And basically, we tell our employees that, you know, we really are guests here of our stakeholders, whether it's a landowner, whether it's communities. And we have a license to operate in these communities and drill in these wells. And we have to do everything that we can to make sure that we don't violate the terms of that license.
I also want you to talk a little bit about Marathon Oil in general. You're on the exploration side. There's obviously there's the upstream and downstream, the difference, and there's two different companies now. But talk about Marathon. Talk about what you do.
And again, we are two distinct companies now, and Marathon was a wholly integrated company, and about 3 years ago they split into Marathon Oil Company, which is who I work for, the upstream exploration production, and the other company now, both separately traded publicly, is Marathon Petroleum Company. And so now that, you know, we're upstream exploration production, a lot of our focus is on North America. And again, it's just a great renaissance of these unconventional resource plays leading that renaissance, whether it's North Dakota, whether it's Eagle Ford in Texas. You're seeing a lot. There's 500 drilling rigs operating out in the Permian Basin of West Texas and New Mexico. And there's some activity going on in the Utica Marcellus Shale up in Ohio and Pennsylvania. So it's just a great story, and I think our production in the U.S. Passed the mark, I think, was last met in the early 80s, if I recall right. So just great, tremendous growth.
And what I appreciate also about Marathon, I want our listeners to know that you're as we mentioned, a VP for Marathon Oil, in charge of this region for Marathon Oil. But I'll bet as much of your day is about, housing, infrastructure, things related to the community, as it is of, where are we drilling next and where are we leasing and everything else. I mean, you're very integrated with the community and helping these communities grow, make sure hospitals are being built and infrastructure and everything else. That's as important to you as taking oil out of the ground, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And to use the hospital as an example, we were the lead donor of $1 million to get that fundraising campaign kicked off, and the new hospital is going to open up in November this year for Dickinson. Much needed, replacing the hospital that was over 100 years old.
Terry's also the guy that introduced me to the Dickinson Elks Club, one of the best run Elks Clubs, Elks Lodge in the country. I did go there last night and thought of that first trip in there, which was with you, and I've been there many times since on hunting trips and everything else. It's a lot of fun. So I appreciate what Marathon has done and is doing and continues to do, and thanks for the sponsorship today.
All right. Thank you. Good luck.
Chairman, about to be former chairman of the North Dakota Petroleum Council, Terry Kovacevic, are you sad to pass that mantle?
It's just probably time to move on. I've been 4 years in a leadership role, vice chairman and then chairman, but I can tell you what, I've never worked with an organization that has worked together to try to solve the problems and make sure that the industry is doing it right. And we've got a lot of great people in this organization and a lot of great employees led by Ron Ness and North Dakota Petroleum Council working for our industry.
Somebody wanted to congratulate you for your 2-year term and all your good hard work. Congressman Kevin Cramer is on our newsmaker line. The Talk Radio Town Hall is about to begin. Kev, anything you want to say to Terry?
Well, just thanks for your willingness to serve in that capacity, Terry. And, of course, thanks to Marathon and, really one of the early legacy companies in the Bakken and the investments they've made. Scott, the thing I love about Marathon and what they've done out there is that, they've made it home. It's not just a transient business to them. They've really made Western North Dakota home. They were really the first company to put a headquarters type of office, if you will, in Dickinson in the area, and setting down serious roots. So I appreciate his leadership the last 4 years. Obviously, he's not done serving the cause, because it's a lot more than just getting oil out of the ground. It's a constant community involvement, and we appreciate that about Terry. So thanks, Terry. Look forward to seeing you later today when I get out there.
Okay, well, thank you. And again, what I've done is a credit to the employees that Marathon has here and their involvement in the communities and everything that they do right.
It's a good team. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Terry Kovacevic of Marathon Oil, chairman, ongoing chairman of the North Dakota Petroleum Council. And that's why our annual meeting is right here in Dickinson, where Terry calls home. So that's fantastic. All right, we got a grand total of a minute, but we have a call waiting to go that's been waiting, so I'll get the question at least before the break. Bob and Grand Forks, your question for Congressman Kevin Cramer, quickly, if you would.
Hey, good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Bob.
What the status on the tax code on the Section 179, where you can write off up to like $500,000 for capital expenditures, you know, like new machinery and stuff, and I heard it's being held up by the House leadership. Can you comment on that, please?
Scott, do you want me to tackle it now or when we get back? Because
when we come back, if we can, because I'm sure you got a meaty answer there. When you're talking tax code, there's no quick answer. Bob, good question, though. And that's the kind of the questions we really appreciate, even ones that are specific, because Congressman Cramer gets on it, gets an answer, and others welcome at 800-228-0550 on What's on Your Mind from Dickinson today. Don't go away.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Loading and unloading grain is safer and more efficient than ever with the Roltec electric conversion system from AgriCover. Featuring the new Command 10 remote with next-generation Zigbee technology. It's smart and easy to use, keeping you in control. This completely integrated system uses the same remote to wirelessly operate tarps and hoppers. Over time, the Roltec electric conversion will pay for itself. Why? It reduces driver fatigue. It's lighter by design, and it saves time, allowing more trips per day. So schedule your install today by calling Dickinson Truck Equipment, 701-483-4369. Nelson Ripplinger Sales in Minot at 701-721-1252. Burt's Truck Equipment, East Grand Forks at 218-773-1194. Yankton Canvas in Jamestown at 701-252-6927. Or find a dealer near you. Go online to RoltecElectric.com. RoltecElectric.com.
According to a Kaiser Family Foundation study, North Dakotans pay hundreds of dollars more each year for prescription drugs than consumers in other states. We're the only state that prohibits retailers like Target, Walgreens, and Walmart from hiring licensed pharmacists and offering hundreds of commonly prescribed prescriptions for just $4 a month. Let's cut the cost of prescription drugs. Vote yes on Measure 7.
Paid for by North Dakotans for lower pharmacy prices. Lisa J. Carlson, Treasurer.
Custom Bakken Chemistry, the latest sprayer technology, the best undercarriage wash in North Dakota, and two inside bays. You'll find it all 24/7 at the North Dakota Truck Wash. What do truckers say about you, Megan? Why do they love the North Dakota Truck Wash so much?
We definitely are conveniently located behind Senex and Stanley, and we can guarantee short wait times, and we just have the chemistry down so then we can clean the truck efficiently.
South of the Pinnacle, Senex on the truck bypass, Stanley. Call them at 701-628-1550.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Town Hall live from the Astoria Hotel and Conference Center, Dickinson, for the North Dakota Petroleum Council annual meeting, brought to you by our friends at Nuvera. Continental Resources, Quality Mat Company, Wyoming Casing Service, Marathon Oil, Neighbors Drilling, the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties, the Theodore Roosevelt Expressway Association. That's a great project. And Kevin could probably weigh in on that one, too. Energy and Environmental Research Center as well. Here's the telephone number for the Talk Radio Town Hall, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. And Congressman Kramer has a question from Bob in Grand Forks about Section 179 of the tax code. Holy buckets. It's way above my pay grade, but I'm guessing it's not above yours, Kevin. Let's have it.
Well, I love Bob's question because, and that's why I wanted to make sure we could come after the break, because it's a complicated question. It's a complicated issue, and yet it's perhaps to, especially to farmers and to small businesses, it's one of the most critical policy decisions that we have to make going forward. So 179 is, of course, an area of the tax code that refers specifically to the depreciation schedule or the what you can deduct, as Bob sort of stated earlier, with regard to equipment, things like purchases, things like that. And up until 2010, you were allowed to deduct, I think it was up to $25,000 worth of equipment that was used to, in your business. Well, $25,000 didn't buy much. You can't buy a combine with $25,000, for example, or a new piece of restaurant equipment or something like that. And so, consequently, there wasn't a lot of that sort of purchasing going on. Well, it was passed in 2010 and it expired at the end of 2013. What expired was raising that limit to $500,000. And so, I assume that's what Bob's talking about. And so, middle of July sometime, I think it was this year, the House of Representatives, Bob, just so you know, it was not House leadership that held this up. We actually passed a bill, and it's called the America's Small Business Tax Relief Act of 2014, which made permanent that 179 code that allows the $500,000 limit on deducting 179 expenses in the year in which the expenses were incurred. And the reason we want to make it permanent, you're going to hear a lot going forward about tax extenders. And there are about 50 deductions and credits that get, renewed every 2 or 3 years. And liberals love to have that renewal come up and have these things expire because that keeps the special interest coming to them for power. So the House Republicans made it permanent, along with bonus depreciation, which is similar. Bonus depreciation allows you to deduct up to 50% of real property that is acquired in the year in which the capital investment was made, and then it's depreciated over time after that. We did some other extenders as well that made them permanent, IRA rollover laws, deductions. This is so important to small businesses, Scott. I hear it all the time from farmers. I hear it a lot from small businesses, implement dealerships, in the oil patch as well. I mean, wherever there's investments being made, they want to be able to depreciate that, deduct that in the year in which they assumed it. And that just makes all the sense in the world, because it spurs real economic activity, creates jobs. Otherwise, a lot of money sits on the sidelines. So we want to make it permanent. What I think is going to happen, though, Bob, is that when we go back after the election into what's called the lame duck session, there will be a couple of bills that we'll have to pass. We're going to have to pass some sort of an appropriations, probably an omnibus appropriations bill that funds the government for the rest of the year. And we're going to take up the tax extenders. Now, the Senate hates permanent. They will never go along with a permanent deduction like this. But the fact that we pass it, and by the way, 53 Democrats voted for this. So this was a huge bipartisan passage. I think it was 277 votes that, to pass this 179 expensing bill. So that means that we have a lot of leverage in our negotiation on the tax extender package that will be voted on probably in November. And we may not get permanent, but we'll hopefully get something better than 2 or 3 years, because the first year is already gone. We can't help you go out and buy a new piece of equipment in July because July is already gone. So, these kinds of policies are meant to encourage public or human behavior. Well, maybe we get 5 years, maybe we get 10 years as a result of the House staying firm on permanent. So great question.
Very good question indeed. Others waiting here. Let's get to the phones at 800-228-0550. Henry in Fargo, your question for Congressman Kevin Kramer. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Mine's a two-part question, and one is, we've seen your ads now running for re-election, and how do you square your ad with going across the aisle and trying to do a budget deal so we don't shut down the government? most of us want the government shut down. And the second part of the question is, I heard Hovind on another station the other day when they were doing the Microsoft closures, and he's saying, well, we're going to help them on Fargo all we can. We're going to help them. I mean, he's not a conservative, and, you know, the jury's still out if you're a conservative. How do you square those two things?
Well, first of all, Henry, I think you make an erroneous statement when you say most of us want the government shut down. I've never sensed that most people want the government shut down. And with the government being shut down, of course, that means services to veterans don't get paid. It means our military doesn't get paid. It means that Social Security checks don't go out. As you notice in this regime, it meant that national parks weren't open, the monuments weren't open. There are a lot of services that are really, really critical to people if the government is shut down that aren't being delivered. So I don't think that's true at all. What we were able to do by getting the government reopened was we were able to get a concession related to Obamacare that was quite important because the Obamacare up to that point allowed through executive order people to self-qualify or self-verify whether they'd get the subsidy. Remember, that's one of the things that the Obama administration loves to do, is to allow people to simply self-certify for benefits rather than have to demonstrate the actual need for them. So that was one of the issues we got. We also were able to get the Senate to agree to a budget deal that required both sides to go back to regular appropriations process. Now, unfortunately, the House did. We've passed appropriations bills throughout the year. The Senate hasn't passed a single one, so they've already reneged on that part of the deal. But I don't think it's true that the government, shutting down the government is not a good idea. There may be certain parts of the government we'd like to get rid of, but shutting down the government, I never did support shutting down the government. I was glad to be able to be part of the coalition that got it reopened.
All right, other calls waiting. I'm sorry, Henry, did you have a follow-up? Sound like Henry.
He ran down a whole litany of things that were closed. If you played Heidi Heitkamp and Barack Obama, it's the same litany of things. I mean, that's not true. There's still a stream of money coming into the government. Shutting down the government, they haven't had a budget in how many years? And all they do is continue a resolution, and that's all they totally skirt the Constitution.
Well, that may be true, Henry. I don't doubt that that's true, and I don't disagree that that's true. But a continuing resolution isn't that usually what in this day and age? I think that's what most conservatives, they sort of favor the continuing resolution because, of course, under the sequestration caps, over the course of 10 years, the budget keeps getting cut. We've now cut the budget 3 years in a row. The total spending for the federal government has been down 3 years in a row, which is the first time that's happened since the Korean War. Now, I would say, given that Republicans only control one half of one third of the federal government, that's sort of a remarkable statistic that we've been able to actually do that. We've been able to get the deficit, it's gone from about $1.4 trillion down to now this year it's about $600 billion, and next year it's expected to be under $500 billion. While it's still not at balance, we're going the right direction considering we only have, again, one half of one third of the government. So
up against the break here, I'll give you a chance to just wrap on that comment. Henry, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Others welcome at 800-228-0550. Miles Huska of KLJ will join us when we come back, too, with Congressman Kevin Cramer.
Program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Congressman Kevin Cramer. He has a North Dakota trait a lot of people in Washington haven't seen. It's called common sense. Last year, Kevin Cramer voted to end the government shutdown and helped get the government back to work.
We need to break the gridlock in Washington, and using a little North Dakota common sense is the way to do it. I'm Kevin Cramer, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Cramer for Congress.
Yes, North Dakotans should always be able to buy or sell a home without government adding another tax on property. Yes, buying a home is expensive enough. We don't need a new tax adding to the cost. Yes, North Dakotans are taxed enough. Yes, we can stop a double tax on property. Learn more at VoteYesOnMeasure2.com. Stop the tax. Vote Yes on Measure 2. Paid for by Vote Yes on Measure 2 Committee, Nancy R. Willis, Campaign Coordinator.
September is National Preparedness Month, so make it a September to remember by getting your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. On sale this month are 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes Unit. You'll get one number 10 can each of high-quality Mountain House Chicken Stew, Vegetable Stew with Beef, Pilot Crackers, plus the highest quality dehydrated ABC Stew, Butter and Potatoes for a total of 160 one-half cup servings. Retail value $161.41, but not this month. The Freeze Dry Guy offers the 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes Unit for only $123.93. Save over $37. Plenty of protein, veggies, carbs for energy, and tasty, hearty, storable food with a shelf life of over 25 years. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the National Preparedness Month sale ends September 30th from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Have you ever noticed how many sick and miserable people there are? I'm serious. I'm talking about people of all ages who have conditions and diseases which affect their quality of life. Most of them seem to have one thing in common: polypharmacy. That is, dependence on multiple prescription drugs with side effects that actually make them sicker and sicker, not healthy. The good news is that people are waking up to the fact that if you supply your body with all of the nutrients it requires, you will feel better, be healthier, and have a better life. It's important to know that Beyond Tangy Tangerine is the most amazing, great-tasting, comprehensive nutritional supplement. Besides supplying all the vitamins our bodies need, it also supplies the necessary minerals that are required for the vitamins to kick in. Look, folks, I'm hooked on it, and I think if you try it, you'll become hooked. This stuff really works. That's why I'm urging you to make it part of your daily health regimen. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com to secure your canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine today. Sign up for AutoShip and save on shipping costs. That's Beyond Tangy Tangerine at InfoWarsTeam.com.
The top of the hour, coming to you live from the North Dakota Petroleum Council's annual meeting in Dickinson. Our broadcast yesterday for Energy Matters, today and tomorrow for What's on Your Mind, made possible by Continental Resources, by Nuvera Environmental Services, by Theodore Roosevelt Expressway Association, by the Quality Mat Company, by Wyoming Casing Service. There's a great North Dakota story. Marathon Oil Company, Neighbors Drilling, the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties, and the Energy and Environmental Research Center. Without sponsors, we don't come to Dickinson. We don't bring you a show every day, so we thank them very much for their support of this effort. Congressman Kevin Cramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall continues. In the essence of time and a lot of things to get to, I'm going to keep rolling here and ask you about a story that has been in the news of late, and our listeners are very concerned about it. It's specifically our efforts to take out ISIS and, you know, the efforts currently arming the rebels. But specifically, the number one concern from our listeners, Kevin, as it relates to ground troops or our efforts, is rules of engagement. So I promised yesterday I would ask you this specific question on rules of engagement, because I hear an overwhelming sense from our audience that we want ground forces there that are U.S. armed forces. We want in this fight. We're not afraid of this fight, and we do believe that it needs to happen. But with how this government has operated of late, and that would be a Obama government and a Bush government, in the way of rules of engagement for the military, make it impossible to win anyway and drag it out. Can Congress do anything about rules of engagement?
Well, perhaps we can. If we get into an authorization to use military force, something like that, we could give a strong sense, you know, in that authorization that, you know, that we want to lift the rules of engagement or, you know, liberalize them a little bit. The thing is, Scott, and I say this without, I'm not attributing this opinion to anybody, including any classified briefing I've sat in, but one of the things I've thought about is by utilizing Syrian rebel forces as our boots on the ground, our rules of engagement, aren't necessarily their rules of engagement. Let's face it, there are some advantages that they have that perhaps our own troops, our own boots on the ground would not have when it comes to this very topic. Now, it makes it a somewhat politically dicey issue for sure. But, you know, rules of engagement also include, you know, bombings. So you literally, during the Iraq-Afghanistan, wars, we had soldiers,
that were negotiating on the battlefield with their superiors and negotiating with the pilot in the sky as, you know, as they're trying to take out certain targets. And you just can't, you cannot win a war with lawyers. You have to, not that there aren't some good lawyers that are good soldiers, but, you know, it's not a negotiation. This is an all-out mission. So a lot of us share that anxiety, and we have addressed it with the Joint Chiefs, we've addressed it with the administration, and we'll continue to throughout the oversight process, which is exactly why the resolution that authorized the president to train and equip moderate Syrian forces also included a heavy dose of congressional oversight, because this very issue concerns us. We want to make sure that they're not just doing it, but that they're doing it well, they're doing it right. So we're going to continue to monitor. I appreciate very much what your callers are saying about this, because we're hearing exactly the same thing. And by the way, that also means that it doesn't just stop with ISIL or this new group, but, you know, we need to root out extreme Islamic terrorism wherever it exists. And I know the president doesn't want to use those terms. He wants to, you know, doesn't even want to imply that ISIS is Islamic, because of course we are working with moderate Islamic nations and soldiers, and so we want to be sensitive, but this is a problem that needs to be pulled out by the root.
This matters to us right now. We have no choice to enter these conflicts, largely because of the disruption that could happen to the oil supply and our economy as a result, which is one of the reasons I want to visit with another guest that is joining us from the North Dakota Petroleum Council, who will give a presentation today on what the next 5 years is going to look like in the oil and gas industry. Niles Hushker, who I know you know, Kevin, as well, Chief Executive Officer of KLJ Engineering, joins us in Dickinson today. Niles, nice to see you.
Good to see you, Scott.
And appreciate you joining us. Can, for the benefit of Kevin and I, can you give us the cliff notes on what you will address today based on the research and the work that KLJ has done and what the next 5 years is going to look like?
Sure. The way things look today is what we consider the norm in the Bakken. The norm in the Bakken, of course, is controlled by the price of oil and gas and what we get at the wellhead, more importantly, not what's published. So we're getting good prices at the wellhead today, and based on that, we believe that what you see right now, the development levels that are occurring today are the levels that are going to continue. Rig counts will stay about the same, but more importantly, the completions will stay the same. Because every well we complete, we bring on new production. And based on this, and based on the improvements that are occurring with fracking technologies, drilling, bringing costs down across the board, it looks as though it could be as many as 18,000 barrels a month of new production could be brought online in the Bakken alone. Of course, that'll vary month to month, but if you average it out over the term, it looks like that's a pretty sustainable level based on going backwards now the past 2 years, which are really the years that look like the years in the future will look. So if we are capable of continuing to bring on 18,000 barrels a month of new production and sustain that production, and it does again look like it based on the depletion curves holding up better than they were.
No, I just need to clarify the number. So we're just over 1 million barrels a day now.
Yes, we're over 1 million barrels today, but we're adding 18,000 barrels a month in new production. So
okay, that's what we add every month. So it just keeps leapfrogging. So where's the top end 5 years from now?
Well, the top end, optimistically, over the term of our study, which was a five-year study, could approach 2 million barrels per day, which is much higher than we originally thought. We thought that we might cap out somewhere in the 1.7 range. But industry is responding in a lot of ways. We have new pipeline proposals that are coming on board, so we'll be able to have some other alternative exit strategies. The markets are recovering and are coming back for our crude, especially on the East Coast, where we're doing some creative things like shipping north into Canada, going on to some flagged vessels and shipping back down the coast and feeding our refineries. And more importantly, the refiners are finding that this crude is a very, very, very good product if they can get it into their shops and start making stuff out of it. So demand for our product's high. We're finding a lot of new outlet strategies, export strategies coming on board. Industry's refining their methods of how they take it out of the ground. Depletion curves are not depleting out quite as fast as everyone thought. We're doing batch drilling. We're drilling on single pads. Just a lot of stuff that makes the field very, very, very efficient and could boost production up to the 2 million barrel mark within 5 years from today.
Did anything in that report that you've done and undertaken, you've done this for the state of North Dakota, right? You're a go-to resource now for the state to tell us what the future looks like, right?
Right. The state of North Dakota asked us about a year ago to take a look at the industry and help them with their projections for what they need to do for infrastructure, because the state of North Dakota does not want to be the ones that are slowing down the growth or impeding industry in any fashion. So our study was basically focused on what is the infrastructure, what types of infrastructure, what levels of infrastructure funding should be should continue through this next session so that it continues to enable industry to grow at the pace it does today.
Did anything in the numbers in the number crunching over the five-year forecast surprise you?
Well, when we started the five-year forecasting, our forecast had suggested strongly we'd be capped in the 1.6 to 1.7 range. And throughout the last 3 to 4 month period, as we saw some new improvements come on board, some outlet and exit strategies come on board, even the discussion and slash debate about export of crude, which is huge for us, because export of crude will not result in a cost increase, as the consumer thinks. It'll actually help stabilize our country. Allowing us to export some of this light sweet crude is a very important thing for us. It's a product that we have a global demand for, and it's a product that we can't necessarily refine locally. So by allowing us to possibly export it, which now there's discussion and debate on, it's a pretty big thing.
And by the way, we're going to talk with Blue Halsey of Connell Resources about that very issue tomorrow on the program. Look forward to that conversation. Congressman Kramer, what is your reaction to what you just heard from Niles?
Well, first, I'm going to start with where he ended up. This ability, opportunity to export is really something we have to explore as a country very seriously, because he's exactly right. While conventional wisdom is sort of that, well, if we export it, that's going to drive up the price. That's not true at all, because if you are able to export it, it has lots of value. One of the values it has is it incents more production. And when you have more production and more certainty in the marketplace, you stabilize price rather than being dependent on, all these other geopolitical forces. The second thing you do is, of course, create more jobs right here in North Dakota and in our own country, as well as national security, as you started out this discussion with Scott. And then the other thing that I think is so critical, and we're seeing it wane so much, and this was an issue that I was able to speak to with the Quadrennial Energy Review in Mandaire in Bismarck recently, and that is that you have, our political influence in the world is waning. I don't think anybody could deny it. They could try to, but it is waning. And we need to get that political influence back. And when you see things like what's going on in Ukraine and Vladimir Putin pushing the sort of Soviet, the old Soviet empire back into Europe, our European allies don't, are dependent on him for gas, for example. And, we can be doing a lot more with liquid natural gas as well in terms of exporting. And other parts of the world, we want to be the leader in that just as well as we are in other areas. And your point is right on, and that I'd rather use the peaceful tools of energy than the weapons of war to inflict our influence on the world. It's a far, far better way to go for everybody.
I would also add, with that level of production, with what you're talking about, just again the North Dakota impacts on that and how that can be multiplied to other shale plays around the country, the game changer that can be for our economy. I mean, you've given Congressman Kramer and his colleagues ammo, Niles, in my view, to go out there and make the case that this is an economic juggernaut, that if we would responsibly do what we're doing on private lands, on public lands, we would bit by bit eliminate the federal debt. I mean, these stats can be played in other places, in other shale plays, can they not?
Well, the interesting dynamic that I'll point out is that in our analysis for production in North Dakota's Bakken over the next 5 years, we did not include any production off of federal lands, because we do not see circumstances changing over that period of time that will allow for effective and efficient harvest off of those lands. So
that's kind of sad, isn't it?
Well, it is.
It's the same rock, it's the same ground, right?
And it's some of the areas that are under federal protection today are highly productive zones, and we know that because of the areas that surround it. Now, the interesting issue is that we've never really tested that, so we don't even know what the production levels are about within those areas. And one of my slides that'll be up on the screen today will show a great big hole in production with a question mark over it, and that is those federal lands, those on our maps, they're green. and they're in control. So if at some point in time we're allowed to go into those lands and harvest crude, we'll see productions even go higher.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your presentation, having you back, and make sure folks understand this, because it's extraordinarily important to everything in every corner of North Dakota. Niles, thanks for the great work at KLJ and getting this done.
Thank you.
Niles Lushker, the Chief Executive Officer of KLJ, one of those household names in North Dakota when it comes to engineering and a lot of great ingenuity. When we come back, Congressman Kevin Cramer with calls from Adam and Dickinson, John and Annetta, and Bob and Grafton. Stay tuned, folks. We'll continue.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
The North Dakota Soybean Council is excited to be hosting a number of international trade teams this fall. These teams consist of the top wholesalers, traders, and buyers of U.S. soybeans from Southeast Asia. A primary goal of these visits is to build and expand relationships between these trade industry leaders and North Dakota soybean farmers. Hosting these trade teams provides the ideal opportunity to showcase the quality of North Dakota soybeans and the producers who grow them. Because of the relationships that are developed through these trade team visits, the buyers know that our soybeans are of good quality and produced by people they know and trust. They consider this factor when making purchasing decisions. Increasing demand for soy in overseas markets continues to be a high priority for the North Dakota Soybean Council. For more information about our international marketing efforts, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Channel.
Remember when animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers who raise animals for food in our great state? There was one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, that decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices. And the measure passed with nearly 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress that made this country great. Learn more about all the Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your North Dakota Farm Bureau. Find out more at ndfb.org.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
And we're back Rebecca Dickinson for the North Dakota Petroleum Council Conference. Stop by and say hi. Be here today through tomorrow as well, the noon hour. This conference is just getting underway here momentarily. And Miles Huska, our previous guest, who joined Congressman Kevin Cramer, will give a very informative address here to the group first up to talk about the forecast over the next 5 years. Pretty exciting. We're brought to you today by the Energy and Environmental Research Center, by the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties, by Neighbors Drilling, by Marathon Oil Company, Wyoming Casing Service, Quality Mat Company, Continental Resources, Nevera Environmental Services, and the Theodore Roosevelt Expressway Association. It's the Talk Radio Town Hall, and we want to get back to your calls here as well. And Adam and Dickinson's been waiting a while. We're in Dickinson. Let's hear from Dickinson. Adam, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I have a question for the congressman. I'm 25 years old, vet. I'm just wondering about Social Security. I'm paying into Social Security, yet in 2037, the Social Security website predicts that it's going to drop as far as the percentage of payout and other issues as well. So my question is, does the Congress have anything in place to help reform that Social Security? And also if they're even considering to have an opt-out or something that's actually easy for Social Security.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam. If you were given the option to opt out, would you?
I would. I would rather invest that money into my own Roth IRA or IRA.
Sure.
And invest into other things. There's a lot of different options out there.
Sure. Well, one of the things, great question, by the way, and you're the perfect person to ask at the age of 25, and you have reason to be concerned. The nice thing, and I think you said 2037, and depending on the economic issues and whatnot, the insolvency of Social Security is inevitable, but it's fortunately not imminent. In other words, it's not right around the corner. And what that does is that gives us an opportunity to make small tweaks to it now or early, soon, so that we don't have to make massive changes to it at the time of insolvency. So, Adam, if you said you referred to cuts in the payout, that would almost certainly have to be the solution if we don't do anything until it's insolvent. However, with minor adjustments sooner rather than later, and I mean very minor, you can have major impact down the road. Things like, for example, maybe raising the retirement age a month, every year after, say, 2030 or something like that, and until you raise it by 6 months or a year. By doing that, you can have a multi-billion-dollar impact on the fund, and it also addresses the fact that we're living longer and we're working longer and we're more productive longer. By doing a little bit of a means testing, for example, so that people with certain means might not receive the full benefit, you can find a lot more money at the end of it. And so these are small things, Adam. Now, whether or not there would ever be an opt-out option or a privacy option, I don't know. Those things are often thrown about and discussed in the context of the entire discussion. But I would expect that the bigger issue in the short run is going to be Medicare, because Medicare goes insolvent in about 12 to 14 years, again, depending on economic issues. But so that's a little closer to insolvency. And Medicare is one of those situations where if we don't do anything until insolvency, you're talking about probably 25% cut in the benefit package. Nobody wants that. So similar, obviously, entitlements that need to be dealt with sooner rather than later.
Glad you're listening. We love 25-year-old listeners. That's fantastic, and especially ones that are concerned about the future, so appreciate that. We have only 2 minutes left, so we're going to have to go quick with these next questions and answers. John Anetta for Congressman Cramer.
Well, I've heard you and Boehner say at times how much you've cut the budget.
Total spending.
And I'm looking at this thing that says in 2010, when Republicans were elected, it was $13.5 trillion, and now it's over $17.5. So I would like you to name me one place where I can look up in the budget, other than defense, that got $1 less this year than they got last year. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about, we were going to give them 15% and we only give them 12 increase. I'm talking about we gave them $100 and this year we only give them 75. One place.
Sure. Well, two things. First of all, I'll start with the Farm Bill. I mean, the Farm Bill cut $23 billion out of the budget, and that's an actual less money than they got, than you get, say, 1 year. It's less money the next year, a real dollar number. Now, but you brought up another issue that I think confuses the issue a little bit, and that is you referenced the debt. The debt is a function of not only the deficit spending, which is
you know, the deficit's getting smaller, but it's going to get a lot bigger if we don't do something with the on the entitlement side, as Adam was talking about. But it's also a function, of course, of the interest that continues to accumulate. So until we get the debt or the deficit to balance, get the budget to balance, and then hopefully have a surplus, we'll never be able to deal adequately with the debt, which is a whole different issue, John, and a much bigger problem, frankly. Spending is certainly an important part of the formula, but the other part of the formula is really getting our economy going again so that we can have appropriate revenue coming in without, I stress, raising taxes.
All right, appreciate the call. Got to keep going here. I need to get in a question about a crossing the Canadian Pacific is blocking during. Yeah, where was it? Foxhole, right?
Yep, it is. And so we've reached out to CP and asked what the issue is. We've not heard back from them as of about 20 minutes ago. So we continue to try to find out the answer to that one, and we'll let you know as soon as we have some sort of an answer from them. But I also ask you though to contact the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Because they do, as the one area of the railroads that they actually do have some influence over is the crossing.
All right, we're going to get on the phone to Julie Fedorchik and tell her she can help Congressman Kramer get this darn thing fixed with CP. And I don't know why they wouldn't call a congressman back quick, but that CP is starting to worry me on a few things. I'll tell you, I'd get on the phone in a nanosecond. Congressman Kevin Kramer, thank you, sir, for the Talk Radio Town Hall.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks to the callers.
We'll do it again next week. And by the way, your questions or comments and input, welcome 24/7 at 855-200-1776. Back here tomorrow. Thanks to our sponsors from Dickinson. What's on your mind? God bless you and goodbye.
One thing I really enjoy about pheasant hunting is it's an active sport. If you're serious about pheasant hunting, you're going to be out there working for the birds. The gear that's available today is going to make your hunt just that much more enjoyable. Watching my own dog work, being out there with my friends, congratulating a buddy on a good shot. Those are all things that I really like about upland hunting. I'm Judd Geese, and I'm an upland hunting expert at Shields.
Shields, when it comes to gear and expert advice, we're right there with you in Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks, Fargo, and Moorhead.
Howdy, folks. Jeff Peterson here with the U.S. Cowman Association. Please join us Friday and Saturday, October 3rd and 4th, for the Independent Beef Association of North Dakota and the U.S. Cattlemen Association joint meeting at the Ramada in Bismarck. Here are the latest policy updates from the American Farm Bureau, the National Farmers Union, along with the market news reporting service, The Beef, and the nation's leading Ag EPA coalition, the Ag Nutrient Policy Council. The event is open to the public. For more details, check out uscattlemen.org. We'll see you in Bismarck.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.